Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile. And the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time. There's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hey everybody, hope you're well. Welcome back to another edition of Simply Serie A, the Italian football podcast, part of the 90 Min Football Network. I'm your host, Harry Simeu, and I'm delighted to be joined once again by my star-studded panel. Vittorio Campanile, welcome back to the show. How are you?
I'm okay, thank you. Good. Nice weekend for me, but I cannot say the same thing for the others, I presume, right?
We'll get into all of that, I am sure. Also back on the show, Tommy Milanese, how are you?
I'm living the dream. I'm in Italy, in Genova, enjoying the sun, not caring about the football.
Tommy, are you ever in England anymore?
I'm a bit everywhere, you know. I'm a man of the word. Yeah, I can't be confined within a country.
That's it. Brilliant. Also joining us, Alessandro from 90 Min Italia. How are you?
Oh, good. Yeah, decent weekend in terms of games, not in terms of results, but it is what it is.
And also joining us, Marco Biferri, back to complain about Juventus more, I'm assuming, today.
Yeah, basically. Same as every weekend.
It's becoming a bit of an ongoing theme at the moment, isn't it? Look, let's start off with the game between Milan and Napoli. It was on Sunday evening, a cracking game. I must admit, I was at my daughter's first birthday party, and I sat and ignored everybody and watched the game, which didn't go down well, but it was well worth it in the end because it was a highly entertaining encounter. Vittorio, I must admit, you know, I didn't see Napoli going to San Siro and coming away with all 3 points, especially after the equalizer went in from Olivier Giroud as well. What were your overall thoughts on the game, the performances of the two sides, and of course the VAR decision, which, no, it was not as controversial as the one we saw last week. It was much more solid, I would say.
Well, I'm surprised because, you know, at the end of the first half, I thought there is no chance Napoli can win this one because Milan, especially in the first half, created so many chances. The problem there is you have to take them. And Milan didn't. And then with the substitution, I think we're going to talk about substitution a lot in this podcast because even Simone Inzaghi have been massively criticized by the subs he made. I think even AC Milan was forced to make substitution because two players had a yellow card and Kvaratskhelia were really creating issue there. Those subs, I think, changed a little bit the match. Napoli was very good finding a way to score. But yeah, I think Milan probably deserved more. But in the end, football, if you score more, you win the match, right? So yeah, I think Napoli can be a very tough team. And I mean, Simeone, I love that guy. And, you know, my heart beat it because that goal, the second goal, the goal of Simeone, remind me a very, very, very important goal of his father for Lazio a couple of years ago, I would say. So, you know, good memories.
Everything goes back to Lazio.
Yeah. Oh. As always. Tommy, what was your assessment of the game?
Yeah, I agree. I think Milan did a very good game. I think it's a bit concerning for them that I think one of the biggest strengths last season was the defence and how little goals they conceded. I believe it was 9 goals in 19 games. And this season, they already conceded 8 in 7. something like this. So it's a little bit concerning. I don't know what it is exactly, because all the players are basically the same, the defense is the same. And I wouldn't really pick on anyone being underperforming massively since last season. So I guess you don't just defend with the back four, but you defend as a team. So I guess that's the issue. But again, it was a very entertaining game, and it was, you know, it was made of episodes. Again, Kalulu had the ball for the 2-2 right in front of the keeper, and it smashed into the bar. Bless him, that's not his job. And Meret was superb, absolutely superb. So if only one of those would have gone differently, we wouldn't have been talking about a completely different game. So it was one of those games that was really decided by episodes, and Napoli was simply the best one to take advantage of it. And I guess as a last point, I'm gonna say that it really showed that the depth in the attacking department of Napoli really showed their strength, because obviously they have one of the best striking in Italy, Victor Osimhen, but we can see that one is out, they have not one but two good options. Raspadori suffered a bit because he's that kind of player that likes to come back a bit deeper in midfield. And then they have Simeone, who was a proper striker, who would collect a cross in the box and score like he did. So they have two options other than Osimhen. So it's very good for them. It's a very good news with all the games they're going to have to have that much choice. And they showed that they're not relying on Osimhen as much as Milan is relying on Leao, because they've really suffered that. They weren't able to replace him well with Krunic and then Diaz. So, very good game. And fair play to Napoli. They're going to have a great boost in confidence to go at the break, national breaks, with this win.
Yeah, top of the league and flying at the moment, Ali. But there's always this thing with Spalletti sides, isn't it, that people will talk about. It's almost like a kind of reputation that he's developed now of being able to get the best out of teams in the early part of the season and then falling away. Was this a statement victory, though, that says to people, you know what, we are here for real this time around?
I'm not surprised. On Friday, when I was doing the prediction and I was talking about the games with the Italy's team 90 min, I was seeing Milan, Napoli a bit tired, because as Tommy said, Milan relies more on Leao than Napoli rely on Osimhen. However, it's not a problem for Spalletti. I remember Spalletti when was a Roma manager, going to San Siro and winning games. The problem with Spalletti and when they face small teams in Naples. So we need to check. Napoli lost 2 points against Lecce and was about to lose 2 points against Spezia. What we can say about this game? Really good games, really good match. And since we have been complaining about VAR last week, I would say really good call from VAR, because watching the game live, it didn't look like a penalty, and it was a clear penalty. If we talk about the depth of the roster, Napoli roster, if you replace Petagna with Simeone, is a good signing. Now we need to see, because it's an important winning. However, once again, Milan proved they have really strong identity to me.
Marco, I thought it was a clean tackle as well, the first angle that we saw. Thankfully, there was another one that cleared it up and cleared up exactly what happened. You were on the receiving end of that terrible VAR call last week. So was you happy to see the decision prove to be correct in the end and that they got it right finally?
Yeah, definitely. But the thing is, what I told you last week, I didn't have that much issue with the call last week. It was more like the reaction that the referees had, like in front of the press, like when they said that they didn't like own up to their mistakes. For me, the VAR has mostly worked since his arrival. And I'm not one of those people that say that it's killing football. I think it's actually making it better. We just need to improve the use of it, I think. And yeah, basically what happened on the Napoli-Milan game.
So judging by what you guys have said, and I'll come back to you, Vittorio, are people not really worried about Milan off the back of this defeat? Are you looking at it as a defeat in isolation where they were a little bit unfortunate, maybe in the way it came about because the performance in large parts was there? Is this one that they just need to pick themselves up from, dust themselves off and go again? Or is it deeper? Do you look at this and think, or does your opinion on how they can compete for the title change off the back of this?
I agree with what Tommy was saying. Last year, and normally, you win the Scudetto thanks to your defense. And Milan defense is not working like last year. Now, it's not that they're playing badly, but you don't need to play badly to lose this type of matches. I mean, if you're perfect, you can beat Napoli. If you make slightly little mistakes, like I thought Milan made in the two chances Napoli had, then you're going to lose. And this is what's happening. I mean, I remember Atalanta-Milan. Atalanta got away with 1 point, and they pretty much had just one chance against Milan, and they scored. And if you recall that chance, the defender was far away from the Atalanta player. Magnan wasn't perfect on that attempt to save the ball. So it's not a huge mistake they're making, but compared to last year where they were perfect, I mean, Kier looked like Paolo Maldini, and this year he's here again. So, you know, it's this type of little difference that for a team fighting for the Scudetto has a huge impact. You know, we're not saying they're terrible, but these little mistakes make huge impact for a team fighting for the Scudetto. And we are seeing that because we always said, right, it's just one example, one mistake, one attempt that can make you win these big matches. And this is what happened to AC Milan. We should also mention that Giroud is a great striker. He scored Sunday, but in the first half, he missed three very good chances. I don't know. Maybe another... Giroud is a great striker, but it's more like a Dzeko type of striker, right? Someone very good making assists, making space for someone else, not finishing. So
he's not lethal. Yeah, he's not lethal, is he?
I mean, in the first half, he missed a chance. Everybody's saying, Meret made an unbelievable save. You're 1-on-1 against the goalkeeper, 3 meters from the goal. You have to destroy the goalkeeper there. I mean, if he touches the ball, he has to go in the net with the ball. Instead, he deflected on the bar. You know, that's not what you expect from a very good striker.
Tommy, should Maignan in the Milan goal have saved the penalty as well? I thought he should have. I thought it was a really poor penalty from Politano. I thought it was incredibly fortunate that it squirmed in underneath the goalkeeper.
Yeah, it's one of those penalties that is fairly easy. It's the penalty that you want as a goalkeeper. But I think, well, Maignan obviously thought it was going to go right in the corner, so he proper dived for it. And you can see in the slow motion that halfway through the dive, he kind of tries to go back on himself and close the gap, but he just does it just half a second late or whatever. But I mean, I think it's a bit harsh to say he should have saved it. Yeah, it was a fairly easy. If you guess that, if you guess the direction, you should save that. But I mean, it was a penalty. Dest shouldn't have done that foul. Is Dest good enough for Milan? I don't know. Another thing to say on that penalty is that Kvaratskhelia, or Kvaradona, as people call him, is really on another level compared to almost anyone in the league. Unbelievable.
Yeah, he started the season in brilliant form, hasn't he? I mean, just quickly on Milan, sort of, we got to give credit to Napoli, right? It's never easy to go away to Milan and come away with 3 points. And I feel like we focused a little bit heavily on Milan and maybe not giving Napoli the praise that they deserve. Just quickly on Milan before we touch on Napoli a little bit more and then we move on. It hasn't really changed my opinion of where they're at as a team, you know, that result. I think that the performance was there. And I think when the performance is there, it's very difficult to pin it on the manager or to say that the system doesn't work or anything like that. I think that you just have to look at it as not being their day, essentially. It was a really bad day at the office. Things didn't go their way. It didn't go as planned. And unfortunately, you know, they found themselves in a losing position. But I think they'll be back. And I'm still expecting them to be right at the top come the end of the season. Ale, just quickly on Napoli before we move on to another game. I mean, what what would represent a good season for Napoli? Champions League football? You know, I know we talk about the Scudetto and we talk about their kind of tendency to fall away late on in seasons, but if you were a Napoli fan going into this campaign, what would you have looked at and said, this is what I expect?
I mean, when it was time to do the starting grid, we all said, okay, probably they won't be able to make the top four.
No, I said fourth.
Okay. Ready to Tommy. So now after the first bit of the season, I would say they are the best team at the moment. In Syria,
but it was the same last year. Like I remember last year, the first 10 of Preston Gate, they were flying.
You never know what to expect. You know, now that there will be 1 month and a half stop, then they will restart. At this point, they won't. I mean, I would be happy to fight for the top four, and let's see what happens, because the throne is empty. There's no Juventus dynasty. There's no Inter dynasty. Milan, they can do the back-to-back, but I don't know if they're able to do it. So if in March the throne, they're still there, why not?
Can I ask a question then? So when people say that Spalletti's teams tend to fall off, and that is a narrative that is commonly sort of pushed by Italian media, I would say, is it because they run out of steam? Is it because they're burnt out? Is it because of tiredness, Marco? Is it because the squad isn't big enough? Is it because his methods become tiresome? In which case, could the World Cup break do good for Napoli? Could it give them the opportunity to kind of pause and, you know, providing they don't pick up any key injuries, could they then come back and not have that blip that they inevitably have had in previous seasons?
I don't think it will make much of a difference, the World Cup. I think the issue with the Spalletti's team is probably more on the mental side. I think it's probably a thing of him keeping the tension and maybe just failing when it matters the most. That's my point of view. And I don't think the World Cup break is going to make any changes. I think last season, Napoli was like first or second, like right up until February, maybe, or maybe January. Yeah, exactly. So I don't know if the World Cup break will do any difference to it, to be honest. And like I've always told you since day one, for me, Milan is the team to beat it this season. And I don't see Napoli taking that turn. But if I were a Napoli fan, I think that a successful season would be at least fighting for the Scudetto. I think that would be like a really good season for them. Especially when you think about the expectations that we had just a month ago.
Yeah. Tommy, what's your take on that? Do you think the World Cup break could be positive for Napoli?
Yeah, I think so. I think it would be huge, actually. Considering that most of the best players would not go to the World Cup, because Osimhen is not going, Raspadori is not going, Simeone is not going, Kvaratskhelia is not going. Is Georgia going as well? I don't think he is. Is it?
No, Georgia.
Kvaratskhelia is not going. Politano is not going. I mean, if you think Anguissa is probably not going, and Ndombele is likely not going. I mean, Mauro Rui, Di Lorenzo, Meret. I mean, most of the players are not going. Well, I'm thinking that other teams like Milan, Giroud will go. Leao will go. The Kitalare will go. And many others. So I think that would make a difference. I really think the players that will come back from the World Cup, especially those that will got to a later stage, and I'm thinking quarters onwards, it would really be difficult on a mental side to kind of come back, and not just for the physical point of view, but also for the mental side to kind of concentrate, shift your focus from being country's hero to then go back into a season that you already started. So I think the teams that would not have as many players in it, like Napoli, will definitely benefit from it.
Interesting. Are the guys any thoughts on that, on the whole World Cup break?
Yeah, they can take advantage. Atalanta can take advantage. But I'm also curious, I don't know if you are, to watch how the player that will play the World Cup will play after this international break. in the last month before the competition will start.
So you think it will be on their minds, the World Cup, maybe not wanting to get injured, maybe?
To me, in every challenge.
Well, think about Pogba, right? He didn't want to go have a surgery because he would have missed the World Cup. So, you know, top teams are already thinking about that.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Let's go from one disappointing result for a Milan-based club to another. Inter were beaten by Udinese 3-1. Udinese have started the season. Tommy, I'll come to you first on this one. They've started the season brilliantly. They sit in third at the moment, just a point off the top. But this was a really bad day at the office for Simone Inzaghi's side, wasn't it? And they took the lead in this game as well and ended up completely falling apart. Vittorio mentioned earlier in the show that there were question marks around Simone Inzaghi's substitutions, changes. And if I'm not mistaken, he's come out and said in the press that he knows what the problems are and he's going to try and solve them, or he knows how to solve them. Do you feel like he's starting to struggle a little bit into the, because the start to the campaign has been far from convincing?
Yeah, I've never been a huge fan of Inzaghi, I'll be honest. And I think that he's losing the plot a little bit, if I have to be honest. These substitutions, right, they're getting to a level. I was talking to Ali this morning about it. I think he's still scarred from that time. I think it was Napoli-Lazio when Lucas Leiva got the red card and then they ended up losing the game. He is so terrified of playing in 10 men that he's making some absurd substitutions that you don't see in football. Yeah, I think it took out two men after 30 minutes. If you look at Atalanta against Roma, we're going to talk about it in a minute. I think every single player, outfield player, had a yellow card or something ridiculous, like seven or eight players, including Demiral, Toloi. It's crazy. And I mean, none of them got a red card, you know, because professional footballers are good enough to know that they're not going to make another foul. I know that he might be concerned that maybe players with the yellow card play differently. But at the same time, I think it's absurd, and especially because one of the two substitutions was Henry Mkhitaryan, which is obviously an offensive player, plays as a CAM, is a player that has not played much in this beginning of the season. It was finally his chance. He started the game. It could have made a difference, and, you know, it could have changed the season maybe if he had a very good game. And because of yellow card, is taken off after 30 minutes. I mean, I think it's absurd, and I don't want to be too harsh here, but I think it's a sign that he's losing the plot a little bit. With that said, I'm not one of those people that's saying he should be sacked now. I think it's still very early for that, but yeah. I don't think he'll fix it. It's convenient for him to say, obviously, and I really hope for him that he actually means it. But I don't think he'll fix it. He'll improve once Lukaku comes back, but I don't think the season will be that positive.
I know what you mean, like about the whole yellow card thing, because it does feel, Vittorio, like it's a bit of an obsession for Simone Inzaghi at the moment. Like, as Tommy says, that fear of going down to 10 men. You know the manager probably better than all of us because he spent so many years at your club. What's your take on, A, the performance at Udinese and B, where Inter are at in general?
So, first of all, it's not an obsession. It's a rule. In the guidebook of Simone Inzaghi, rule number 2 says, if you get a yellow card, you're out. The exception is he did the substitution in the first half. Normally, he does it in the second half. So this is an exception of the rule. But the rule of Simone Inzaghi is clear. You get a yellow card in the first half, you're out in the second.
It's a trauma. He needs to get over it. There's very good therapist in Milan, I'm sure.
I mean, that's his guidebook. You know, rule number 1 is you play 3-5-2, full stop. Rule number 2 is if you get a yellow card, you're out in the second half.
What's the number 3?
Can you share the number 3?
Yeah.
Number 3 is if you're under 22, you don't start.
can we just do a podcast on every single rule narrated by Vittorio?
This is Simone Inzaghi's guidebook. The only under 22 who plays with him are the one who he trained when he was in Lazio Academy. That's it. I mean, you can be Messi and be 21 years old. You're never going to start. So that's Inzaghi. He's a great manager. He's a great leader. Usually players will love him, will go to fight for him. On the other side, you have to take that he's only playing 3-5-2. He doesn't have the players. He doesn't care. 3-5-2. He makes the substitution if you get a yellow card. Take it or leave it. That's Simone Inzaghi. So this is the problem. He rates his players, right? Correa, if he's available, he's going to come in. You know that. We all knew that Acerbi will go to Inter, right? He's his man. He's going to play, and he's playing now. So positive and negative of Simone Inzaghi. On the other side, we have to say even that Skriniar is not playing like Skriniar anymore. So that's a problem. Lukaku is out. He needs a number nine, a striker that plays like that. So I think, obviously, Inzaghi is not under full control of the team, but he has been left down by some players of Inter. And this is the result. Plus, let's not forget that Udinese is playing amazing football. This is the fifth win in a row for Udinese. People can say, yeah, they play against Roma, but still they won, you know? So you know, it's important.
It took me a few seconds.
That's the first jab that they've had at each other with this Lazio.
Wow, the first one of the season.
Yeah. Brilliant stuff. Ale, your take on Inter and where they are at the moment. Seventh in the league, already lost three times. I think that was inconceivable to think at the start of the season.
Yeah, I mean, we, except for Marco, I guess, and I don't know, maybe you and Tommy, me and Vittorio were putting Inter on top.
I was as well.
Yeah. So at the beginning of the season, credit to Udinese. I mean, they won against Roma, nothing major, but they're playing really good football. They have really good players, Samardžić, Lovric, Beto, Doggy, the coach is doing a really good job. However, it's good. You have your book rules and all this stuff. But if you are the Inter manager, you are paid to find solution. You cannot go for with 3-5-2. Same story with Allegri complaining about the players. If you are the Inter or Juventus manager, you are paid a lot to find solution with the players you have at the moment. You cannot complain. You are there for a reason, and the reason find solution in moment like this one. So, no excuses for Inzaghi, and please don't forget, he lost the league last season.
Marco, do you have confidence that Inzaghi can find the solutions to the current problems? I feel like in this season, where I don't look at Milan and think that they're impossible to catch, you know, even if obviously not to catch right now because they're not top. But what I mean is I don't think that they are so strong that, you know, they won't go through a bad period. I think the same with Napoli. We've talked many times about the dip that's probably coming from them at some point as well. I don't feel like the damage that Inter have done already is damage that is irreparable. I think they could still get themselves to there or thereabouts if they go on a run. But have you got any confidence that Inzaghi is going to find a way of getting them back on track and getting them into a position where they're strong enough to push on and potentially close that gap between themselves and the top?
I think they still have time. I think it's fixable. They're only seven points, I think, or 6 points behind Napoli. I think it will depend.
It's only 5 points.
It's only five, yeah. Mm. I think it will depend a lot on Lukaku. I think Lukaku is a player that in Italy like shifts the balance so much that it will depend on him. Inter has been suffering quite a bit without him. I still don't see them winning the title. I think they'll make top four easily, probably top three as well, because I still think that Milan is the strongest side in Italy. But yeah, I think it will depend mostly on Lukaku's being fit the rest of the season.
Yeah, but you can't rely on one player. Is Skriniar going to start playing football when Lukaku's back? Is Bastoni going to
Conte won an Scudetto with Lukaku, basically. Like, that was the main thing of his team.
And you could see more to that.
Manager.
Yeah, that's true. But I think the issue with Inzaghi is that he didn't make the most of the team that Conte left, like Allegri did in 2015 with Juventus. And we saw that last year. But I think that if Lukaku comes back and he's the player that he was two seasons ago, they'll still be able to fight.
He'll definitely improve the team. But well, like Sandro said, as a manager of a top club, you need to find solutions. Yeah. You don't have your best team. Like Osimhen is out, Simeone is scoring Champions League against Milan, is doing good. And then also, like, Lukaku's out. He has Edin Dzeko. It doesn't have Pusetto. I mean, it's still a very great number nine. Oh, yeah, no, it's a bit old and stuff.
And they have Lautaro Martinez.
They have Lautaro, don't forget.
Lautaro,
I mean, if we go back to 2 years ago when Conte was there, Lautaro Martinez wasn't that player, right? Wasn't so good like he is now. So he has option. I don't know. I think he'll need a little bit of time. And on the other side, let's not forget that this is not anymore the Inter of Antonio Conte. A lot of players are not there anymore. A lot of important players are not there anymore. Handanovic is not getting any younger.
Oh, we need to talk about him. Handanovic, like, he never throws himself. He's amazing. He's like a statue on goal. I still can't believe that he's the main goalkeeper still at Inter. I still can't believe that.
I want to understand how he got six on Fantacalcio on fantasy football, because I drew against my opponent for half a point because Andanovic got six. But anyway, that's another conversation for another.
It's my keeper for this reason. It's a Fantacalcio.
Do you know what? It's too late this season, but I'm going to play with you next season.
We should do a simply.
Yeah. You need to try.
You'll understand the madness around it.
We need more people.
Don't worry. We'll, you know, a little...
By the way, I benched De Lufeo this weekend, and what happened? Starting every single match when I bench him, he scores.
Good stuff. Look, let's move on because we've got a few more games to cover as well. Because as we was talking about, I can't remember who did I speak about this with the other day. Obviously, for sort of Milan, Inter, Juve, Roma, all to lose on the same weekend is not something that happens every week. But
last time it happened was 1955.
Wow.
That's what a professional.
As well. Yeah,
what a professional guy.
Really, as the host, I should have had that nailed down, but I didn't. That's terrible on my part. Well done, Ali. The new MVP. You've taken over, man, from Marco last week. let's talk about Roma then, because they were beaten at home by Atalanta. Jose Mourinho, my favorite manager, wasn't too happy on the day, was he?
No, yeah, but nothing to say about the performance of the team. One of the best of the season, to be honest. But as Vittorio said earlier, if you don't score at this game, you don't win.
Mm.
21 shoot.
Yeah.
And you don't score. So this is the main problem. But nothing to say about the performance. You obviously can always improve. But just unlucky. I would say just unlucky. Nothing to say, nothing to add.
Obviously.
I passed the ball to Vittorio. I'm really curious to listen.
No, to be honest, Roma didn't deserve to lose.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
I mean, if there was one team that should have won Sunday, it was Roma. I mean, Atalanta played counter-attack football. That was really surprising because usually Gasperini played a completely different type of football. And Roma had so many chances. I cannot believe they didn't score. But on the other side, I think we have to talk about Abraham. I mean, he missed a chance in the first half. I thought the linesman sign a offside because you cannot miss that chance. Come on. Last time he scored at the Olimpico, could it be last November, something like that? I mean, I don't remember last time he scored at the Olimpico.
Really? There was a European competition. There was a semi-final and he scored.
Okay. No, I'm talking about Serie A.
I know it doesn't count for you, but it counts.
It's a European competition. You said it. It's very important. But, you know, it's again like Giroud. Your striker has to score because otherwise you don't win matches that you deserve to win. And this was surprising because, again, I repeat, in the past, Roma have beaten Atalanta with Mourinho twice. And in both matches, Atalanta played much better than Roma. And Roma scored like 4 goals in the first match, 3 in the second one, or the other way around. And so my impression is Gasperini decided to play as Roma, counter-attack and leave the ball to Roma.
Yeah, I believe he learned the lesson because if you remember last season in Bergamo, especially Roma counteracted and won 4-0, basically, 4-1. But yeah, and I think we have won just 1-0
at
Olimpico, yeah, in Roma. However, yeah, it is what it is.
Now, so, we have to say that Dybala got injured in the warm-up, so that changed a little bit the plan for Roma. And I think Alessandro said it in the last episode. Dybala is so important for this team because was it against Empoli, I think, last match, right? He decided the match with a nice goal, with a good assist. I think they missed him a little bit yesterday.
Yeah. I mean, if you want to go and analyze it a little bit more, we should say Dybala is really important for Roma because it's maybe the only player together with Zaleski that play in vertical. Otherwise, with Cristante, with Matic, Roma always play.
Pellegrini too, no?
Horizontal. Yes, and Pellegrini. But Pellegrini, when it's not behind the striker, suffer a bit. Mm. When it's in the middle line, suffer a bit.
For Ali, do you agree that Tammy Abraham's not been at the... I have to admit, when it comes to Roma, I haven't seen a lot of their games in full this season. I've obviously seen the highlights, but they're not... I don't know, maybe... And you guys know that Mourinho is not my favourite, but there's something about Mourinho teams that doesn't attract me to watch it as much. And so do you agree with Vittorio's assessment of Tammy Abraham? And if so... Is it time to give Andrea Belotti a chance?
For Vittorio, it's easy because, when Vittorio talk about striker, he has Ciro. And it's easy when your striker doesn't miss any chance.
Unless he's playing for Italy.
Yeah. Unless he's playing outside of Lazio, basically.
However...
Sorry, that was unfair.
I would say Tammy is really important for Roma. He does a really important job. And I don't know if the signings of Belotti was helpful for him. Because last season, for example, he knew he was the only one. Now, his leadership, it's we can say in trouble. Because if you don't score, then there is another one who came here to prove himself. So
that's not elite mentality, though, is it?
Eh?
It's not elite mentality, elite strike mentality, is it? Am I being too harsh?
No, it needs to work. But that's what Mourinho say. It needs to work and it's to improve.
Mm. I just wonder because Tammy Abraham is someone who is incredibly mobile as well. He can run channels. He can give you a physical presence up front. I know Belotti's quite well built and all of that stuff, but I don't think he gives you a threat in behind in the way that Abraham does. And so taking Abraham out and putting Belotti in, it's not the same thing.
No,
they're not like for like. It changes the way you approach the game, doesn't it?
For me, no discussion. I mean, I really would love to see them together with Dybala behind in some games. But for me, Tammy Abraham is a Roma striker and he will be until the end of the season.
Hmm. Interesting. Tommy, you referenced Atalanta picking up 7 yellow cards. 7. It's crazy.
That's elite.
Yeah, it is. But I don't think you were on the show when we had an in-depth discussion about Atalanta and the fact that a lot of people felt that, you know, the Gasperini cycle was probably over. Yet here they are, seven games into the season, still early days, but they're sitting second. They're level on points with the league leaders. We've got to give them some credit, haven't we, for picking up, although they weren't very good in terms of their performance. Well, depending on what you class as good, they got another big, big result.
Yeah, huge, huge credit to Gasperini, 100%. That's what a good manager does. That is an elite manager. He adapts. He knows how to adapt, change the style of play, and still, you know, still plays well and pick up points, even when your best players are right away. Vittorio.
Can I say something?
Of course.
They played against Verona, Monza, Cremonese, Sampdoria.
And Roma, and Milan.
Yeah, but four of the last four of the table. I mean, and they drew against Cremonese.
Well,
yeah,
no one is saying they're going to win the league. They're going to continue to win every game. Of course, they will have a dream. Season,
for example, this morning I was making. Yeah, there is difference for me to what Udinese have shown so far and what Atalanta have shown, because for the difference of the opponent, I don't know where to put Roma, according to Vittorio's opinion, but then we will see in the future. Oh. However, but we need to say one thing about Atalanta. They have one game per week and they know how to deal with the top four and how to fight until the end of the season.
So I'm thing, because I saw Sampdoria Atalanta and Atalanta didn't deserve to win. I mean, Sampdoria is a terrible team, but they should at least equalize, find the equalizer. Instead, they found a counterattack and Atalanta score. Same thing against Roma. I mean, Roma was much better team.
And
so, they stole 6 points. Take them out of 4 points and, you know, they're not there anymore.
They had seven yellow cards and none of them were substitutes. So probably Simone Inzaghi's head exploded or something.
But they were in the second half.
But
so that's true.
They were in the second half. So that's rule number five. Yeah. But going back to Gasperini, okay, fine. They might not challenge for the league. They might have had an easier calendar. They might have been lucky in some games. But they are there. You know what I mean? Like someone said earlier, that they play counter-attack and they never really played counter-attack. They always played offensive football, highly relying on the fullbacks. And they're not really doing that anymore, not as much. I mean, if you look at the starting lineup as well, I mean, they're playing with, the striker, Højlund. Ederson and Pajalic. I mean, they're not Papu Gomez, the prime Zapata and prime Muriel or prime Iličić. And then on the wingbacks, which is, you know, was probably the most important role for the Atalanta of a few years ago, where they had prime Gosens and Atabor. And that shows you as well that Gosens went to Inter and dipped straight away. It really showed you that he was playing well because Gasperini did something to him. The way they were playing, the confidence, I don't know what it was. But it really looks like almost any player you give to Gasperini, not every, because there's some exceptions, but almost every player you give to him, they fit in his system and they do well. So yeah, like Ali said, you know, who knows what they can do without Europe, without many players going to a World Cup. I don't think they'll challenge obviously for the title, but they might be up there for the top four until late in the season. I think you're in mute, mate.
There we go. Yep, bad.
Happens to the best.
Yeah, it does. What's the deal with Malinovskyi at the moment? Because I look at sort of the weekend. We know that Malinovskyi and Gasperini have maybe had their issues. It looked like he was going to leave the club at one point. But he's too good a player to sit on the substitutes bench, is he not?
Who wants to take this one?
Who wants to let loose?
I don't know. I think I'll start. I agree that Malinovskyi is probably their best player at the moment. But it doesn't necessarily mean that he fits every game. I would have started him obviously I'm not Gasperini. That's probably the reason for that. But I would have started him because in a game like that, where you're not going to dominate possession, you're not going to have loads of chances, someone that can strike from afar is always very useful. And that's how the goal happened with Scalvini. So if literally the same game happened, exactly how it happened, but the goal wouldn't have been from Malinowski, wouldn't have been, you know, it wouldn't make much more sense. Why was it out? I'm not sure. There's definitely something going on. Like you say, he's a manager that is famous for picking up fights with players, for being difficult to deal with. So, I mean, again, who knows what's going to happen. But Malinowski, right now, he's a player for Atalanta. He's there. He's going to be there until at least January. And I think he will play. I don't think this is as bad as Papu Gomez when he was out of the squad and then left. So I think he will have his say into the season. Not every game, but he will have an important role.
Didn't Gasperini said that he needs a better player than Malinowski because he's already scored 3 goals?
Exactly.
The Atalanta deserve a better player.
Yeah, but it's not a striker, is it? It's not a striker.
Can you say to one of your best players, hey, I need a better one. You score only 3 goals. I mean, he's still with him. I mean, how can I play for a manager that tells me this? You're rubbish. But, you know, I don't have anyone. Come in.
He didn't just tell it to him. He told the press that. That's the worst thing.
Yes, and I'm quite sure that there is a Gasperini book somewhere. Because if you also think about Boga, they bought Boga for over 20 million. They signed Boga for over 20 million in January. And Gasperini decided Boga is not a team player. So in the bench, that's it.
Yep.
The Gasperini book of how to fall out with players. Simone Inzaghi's yellow card book. We've got lots of books to write, guys. We can make a fortune. Moving forward. Right, it's come to that time in the show. Marco, you've been waiting for this.
That's what I came for.
Yeah, that's what I've come for as well, to be honest with you. Talking about the other teams losing was fun as well. But this one, Marco, Monza. I mean,
it was
very, very difficult opponent.
100% predictable that we were going to lose that match. It was 100%. Not only because of how we've been playing. Like the day after the Benfica match in Champions League, basically Allegri went and had a chat with this journalist in Italy, and he basically said that the team that he has right now is not good enough. That is, this is a virtual Juve because he doesn't have all the players that he basically wanted fit. So when you say that, basically what we were saying about Gasperini and Malinowski, when you say that about your players, like to the press, and the worst thing is, and this is what really gets me, is that they didn't call this an interview. So this was like a chat between Allegri and this journalist.
But you know what was that for? I think that is my opinion. It was just to not get in trouble with the press officer.
Yeah. It was just that the Juventus couldn't be able to say anything because Allegri would say, "Oh, this was just a chat."
But basically, when you have a chat with a journalist, it's an interview, isn't it?
Exactly, yeah. And especially if you don't tell the journalist, don't publish this, because he could have said that too.
Yeah.
Well, at the best of times, journalists write what they want anyway. So if you're giving them ammunition as well, you know.
Can I say just something about to defend Allegri? I mean, against Monza, they didn't have Pogba, Chiesa, Ake, Caio Borges, okay, Locatelli, Rabiot, Alexandro, Milik, Cuadrado. I mean, Lazio would have struggled to have 11 players available with all those players missing. I guess Roma would be in the same situation. I mean, he's not that wrong saying that Juventus have a lot of players missing.
Still, but you said last week, Vittorio, and rightly, that you can't rely on Di Maria, you can't rely on Pogba, and he should have known that when he brought them to the club.
He was the one that chose them.
Yeah, and let's talk about Di Maria sending off. Totally unnecessary, Marco.
I don't know. I really think that he doesn't have a hold of the team anymore. I think that the players don't follow him anymore. When was the last time Di Maria got spelled? Like 3-5 years ago, I think someone said.
Because he never played in Italy.
he played in Argentina, so he's 34 years old. He has been, because they say that Iso was chasing him and calling him names, and he's 34 years old. And like in the first half, you just go ahead and elbow the guy. I mean, I don't know. I think I think that after that interview with this journalist, most of the team is not following Allegri. And at the moment, and this was the Tuttosport cover the other day, Juventus is basically a prisoner of Allegri because of the contract that they gave him. So
they've offered him a 4-year deal, 7 million per year. So
absurd. That nobody does contracts like this anymore.
Yeah, but so it's gonna be expensive to sack him, but how much money they're gonna lose if they don't finish top four?
What I was saying last week, and the thing is, this is more like a personal bet from Agnelli, because 2 years ago when they sacked him, he didn't want to, so he was the one that brought him back. So if he sacked him now, then it's basically him saying, okay,
yeah, I can see that, but I think Agnelli is the kind of guy that see people as numbers, so I don't think he cares too much about that.
He was basically crying the first time he had to fire Allegri. He was basically like close to tears on that.
Okay, fair enough. That might be part of the problem. But the main problem is if they second, they're going to lose around 15 million. If they don't finish top four, it's going to be around 60 million. So if they second and still don't get to four because they're getting Montero, not Tuchel or Zidane, then, you know, that's a real issue. So they got to be careful. They've got to be really careful. But in my opinion, they should, because I'll reply to what Vittorio said. You don't need Pogba and Milik to score against Monza and Sampdoria. Hmm. The only team, someone said in the pre-show, only team who didn't score against Sampdoria. And they were still playing with Vlahovic, Cuadrado, Kostic. It's not like they were playing with, again, you know, Verre and Djuricic. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. And also statistically as well, right? This wasn't like a smash and grab from Monza.
No, they deserve
17 attempts at goal. Against Juventus, 61% of the possession.
I think we only had like
unable to control
chances. Yeah, I think we only had two clear chances. I can't remember one from Moise Kean. I can't remember anything else. I can't remember.
Yeah, just a header, which was a random cross in, and it was in good position. That was literally the only chance. And that coming off the back of losing to Benfica, that was probably the most important game of the first half of the season, because you need to go ahead in the Champions League. That is a lot of money, a lot of exposure, and all of that. They're not going to go. They're not going to go.
The thing is, it just keeps getting worse every week. I remember when we faced Sampdoria, Allegri said, like, oh, we cannot do worse than the first half against Sampdoria. And then every week, it's just we take it a bit higher on the level of how bad it is. Yeah. And this was just like the last drop.
I would say it is also funny to see that one of the best player on the pitch was Rovella on loan from Juventus.
That's the other thing. You see Juventus player.
They were looking for quality.
But if you put Rovella in this Juventus team, it wouldn't touch the ball.
And that's what I was
if you put
say.
Messi, prime Messi in this team, wouldn't touch the ball.
You see Rovella, and he was flying on Saturday. You see Juventus players, and they basically just walk like zombies all over the pitch. It's just a thing about, I think it has become such a toxic environment where no matter what player you put in that team, it's just not going to do well.
I'm saying this thing as well. A good friend of mine, huge Juventus fan, he was literally supporting Monza because he wanted to go get Allegri.
I was very close to it.
So many fans thought the same. If the fans are like that, I kind of agree with you, Marco. I think the players are almost the same as well. I mean, I'm not saying that Di Maria did it on purpose to get Allegri out. No, but
there's a new hashtag going around social media called Stadium Vuoto. So basically, empty stadium. It's just not to sack Allegri. It's just because the club hasn't said anything after Monza's game. It was just Landucci, Allegri's second, that went to the press to basically said that we have been rubbish. But not a word from Agnelli, not a word from Arrivabene, nothing.
Arrivabene said we'll keep Allegri, right?
But that was before the game. After the game, nobody said a word. I mean, you have lost against Monza. You need to say something. At least even if it's just to say, look, we're staying with Allegri until the end of the year, no matter what, blah, 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 fine. But at least say something.
Arriva bene, I think he did a record in the last years between Ferrari and Juventus, never won at Monza.
Yeah, but we have to talk about Arriva bene as well. I mean, he has been a disaster with Ferrari. I mean, a new signing for Juventus, what in the hell are you thinking about?
They should get Binotto next as a sporting director.
How can you sign Arriva Bene? Everybody in F1 was saying he's a totally disaster, a nightmare. And Juventus put him in that position? That doesn't make sense. And this shows you how Agnelli is in total confusion.
I think it wasn't Agnelli who put Arriva Bene in charge. It was more Elkan.
It was Marco.
And it was basically just to make sure that the finances would be like kept on check, which he has done. Because if you look at the numbers, of course, the balance this year is going to be awful. But he has been shedding like salaries. He has been shedding like a lot of players that weren't useful, blah, blah. And he's not a football guy. He's not the one that needs to say, look, we need to sign this player or this player. He's just the one that needs to say, look, we can afford this player or not. So he has sort of done his job. It's not an issue with him. It's just the other, like Allegri's importance in the decision making.
I don't know. I think someone in the club has to take responsibility. We don't know what Pavel Nedved is doing these days. We don't know if Agnelli is
the one. What he's doing.
Probably off parting, yeah.
Well, a couple of weeks ago we knew. We don't know what he's doing now. But yeah, I mean, what happened? Once we all said that one of the reasons why Juventus is winning so much is because the club, you know, they had a very good sport director, every player was on check, and so on. Now it's totally confused nightmare there. The players don't know where the club is going. So
Marco,
I think,
fratello mio, if you have to sack Allegri today, but you get Montero, would you do it?
Yeah, 100%.
Really?
It cannot get worse than it is right now. It cannot get worse.
For you prefer Montero to Allegri?
I think Allegri just needs to go just to give an excuse to like the whole environment to get better, like to make something happen. It's been 15 months already. There hasn't been a single improvement since day one.
Okay, but it hasn't always been this bad, has it?
During 15 months.
Last season
we started actually better than this one.
Yeah.
So that's even a downgrade so far.
So do you not have any hope that's gonna pick it up again?
No, at all.
Interesting.
Do you think he completely lost the situation?
Yeah, since last week when he went to the press and basically said all of the things about the team, I think there's no way we can go on with him. But I think the only person that is still holding on to him is Agnelli. And he doesn't want to sack him, then they won.
Worrying
time.
The
next two games, there's Milan-Juventus. I think that could be really decisive. That's Milan-Juventus and then the derby.
That's the other thing. Up so far, the calendar that we have was basically the easiest.
Yeah.
Now it's going to get like way harder. We need to face Milan. We need to face Inter. We need to face Napoli. So I don't see how there's any way we can improve this with Allegri on the bench.
I mean, Vittorio points out some matches coming up. I'm not even convinced they're going to beat Bologna next time.
Yeah, no, exactly.
Like that's the level that they've fallen to at the moment. And it is very worrying from a Juventus point of view, because we talk about some of the players they're missing. Yes, some of them will make a difference, but even still, I feel like the style of football is outdated. I feel like the belief in the manager has evaporated. I feel like there is nothing really there of substance at the moment. And it's going to take a lot more than a couple of players coming back to kind of get them back at the level that they need to be at. Go on, Vittorio.
And Di Maria got suspended. He will miss even Juventus Milan. So he will be back for the derby. So he's going to miss Milan Juventus. And I don't know who's going to play there. I mean, they don't have that many options. Again, very difficult.
He has been complaining about not having Chiesa. Well, you knew that. Yeah. You knew that Chiesa will get back in November. And when you had it, because I still remember when you had it last year, when Chiesa was playing under Allegri, he was bad. He was really, I think he only scored like twice or something like that. He put them like as a second striker instead of playing him on left. So, and Di Maria, well, he's 34 years old. How can you put all the hopes of your seasons on Chiesa, who's has been injured for a year. A 34-year-old like Di Maria, who basically you had to beg him to come to the club, but because he wasn't so sure. And Pogba, who has missed more games than Dybala the last three couple of years.
Yeah, what I would be the most worried about as a Juventus fan is Dusan Vlahovic, because he's one of the best strike. What it looked like it could be one of the best strikers in the world, and also a huge financial,
investment.
Yeah, which you know, if you see, you have Arriva Bene, looks after numbers and money. I mean, if Vlahovic continues this way and ends up at the end of the season with, I don't know, 6 goals, 7, 8 goals, then if you want to try to sell him and move on, how much are you going to sell him for? Half of that.
Yeah, but even Kostic, who has been terrific last year, best player of the Europa League, I don't remember. He has been terrific and he's invisible. He doesn't do nothing with Juventus. I don't know what Allegri did to him. I mean,
because he plays left back.
I mean, he's great. He's a great player, and I think he made an assist in nine matches.
One or two, yeah.
Give it to Maurizio.
Imagine Kostic with Maurizio.
One thing I would say, though, is I know we're talking as if it's the end of the world with Juve, right? And I'm sure for Marco it feels that way. But they've only lost once. This was their first defeat of the season. Yes, they've been held to frustrating draws. But if you're talking about draws and defeats, there is a difference, right? If you're picking up draws, if you're struggling to break people down and struggling to beat people, that's something that can be rectified easier than obviously losing week in, week out. And this was only their first defeat of the season. So I think it's important that we make that point. It's not, you know, they're only 7 points
off the top.
But they played against Sampdoria, Spezia,
Salernitana.
Yeah, they were 2-0 down against Salernitana until the 80th minute.
And should have won that. Should have won that. Yeah, really did win that.
Yeah. Monza, you know, Roma, Fiorentina.
If you look at the jersey, winning, it's not important. It's the only thing that matters. So,
yeah.
Ale waiting there with the digs. Let's just quickly talk about Lazio briefly, Vittorio. It would be unfair to put you through an entire show and not let you gloat about Lazio winning. Obviously, Cremonese, look, he's got Sarri on the phone about Costa.
Yeah, it's Maurizio calling.
Yeah, no, it's my daughter. I don't know why.
talk to us about the win over Cremonese.
Well, unfortunately, something went completely wrong on Thursday. I don't want to talk about it, but that was the reaction I was expecting after that awful performance on Thursday match. So, you know, big teams usually react. Cremonese is not that bad. I think Cremonese is an interesting match, an interesting team. So it was good to get 3 points out of that. As Alessandro mentioned, we have a very good striker in Ciro Immobile who scored 2 goals and made an assist. No, it's a J, it's not an L.
I know, for the wife.
L was Tommaso Rocchi, if I remember correctly. Will he pay the dinner finally to Sergei Milinkovic-Savic?
I hope so. I hope so. He will. Miniko Savic, another great performance.
Five assists in 7 games.
Yeah.
Scary.
I mean, he's the best midfielder in Italy, I think.
In the world.
By far.
Top five in the world.
I still remember people saying that Barella was better than Milinkovic. A lot of journalists said that. So, you know.
Barella is still really good, though.
He's not doing nothing. Again, we go back to Simone Inzaghi. Is it his fault that Barella...
Marco, be very careful what you say.
I mean, I love Inzaghi, but he's a manager that makes a lot of mistakes as well. So I think Sarri is much better manager than Inzaghi, honestly.
Yeah,
I agree. Totally. I'm with you.
So, yeah, it's good to see Lazio playing when they play like that, not like they play in Europa League. So...
Oh yeah, let's do a deep analysis on that game if you guys have time.
We didn't play.
We've got
2 goals in 2 minutes against the team that is 8th in the Denmark league. I think that's enough, right? It's simply unacceptable.
You know,
two penalties the same way. I mean,
I don't speak.
Yeah.
If you speak, you're in big trouble.
No, I don't speak because, I mean...
Because Roma teams like to have an imbarcata, as you say.
Exactly. So, Respect.
I mean, at least we didn't take six goals like other teams do.
This is the second job, huh?
Is heating up. It's heating up. When's the first derby?
November.
I don't check the calendar, so I...
Alessandro lives day by day. Is that kind of guy?
Yeah. Should be end of November.
That's it. I'm looking forward to that one very, very
much. No, it's not
6th of November.
Eh?
There you go.
6th of November. There's even Juventus Inter the same day.
Oh, it's going to be a good episode.
Yep,
indeed. Yeah, and if I remember correctly, is the last one before the stop or...
No, there's another one.
There's one more. Yeah, one more game after that. Anyway, guys, we're going to wrap it up because we've been going over an hour. Thank you so much to every single one of you because it's been a great show. Lots of great chat. Thank you for tuning in. As always, don't forget to subscribe to the podcast if you're new. Don't forget to leave us a review on Apple. And you can also leave reviews on Spotify. I didn't know this until about a week ago. So do leave reviews on there as well. It really, really does help. The more reviews, the higher up the list, the podcast gets pushed in the search terms. And that obviously really helps us. So thank you so much. Follow us on Twitter at Simply Serie A, and you can follow the guys. Their handles will be in the description below. We'll be back, not next week because it's the international break, but we'll be back the week after with some more Serie A chat. Until then, take care of yourself. Ciao.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.